life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.
Thanks for listening. Brian Dynamite Smith and Anthony Askew here on episode 90 of Dynamite in the Brain, the podcast that loves anime and hates fun. It is May the 4th, 2013, and joining us today is Aaron Long.
Hey!
Hello, yes. A horrible thought went through my mind, is that was Anthony going to say it's Star Wars Day? And thankfully he did not.
Oh, damn! I
forgot about that.
Hit that date, and I was like, oh, don't say it, don't say it. And then I went and said it anyway.
I know. I wouldn't have realised at all.
Would have been safe.
If you hadn't, would have been safe from the Sith Lords if you'd kept quiet.
There's an advantage of recording it in the past, because it's not actually May the 4th as we're recording. So we've not had to listen to morning radio DJs crack that joke.
Do people do that on the radio? Do they?
I'm sure a bad morning DJ would.
Chris Moyles and...
Or a bad afternoon. I'm thinking, I bet Steve Wright would. On radio
when too. I was working in an office during the summer, everyone would just like every time you talk to somebody, they'd open with that joke.
Oh god,
it's really fast.
It's the sort of thing people do in offices. Like,
which joke?
They're just saying, "May the 4th be with you."
Ah, right, okay.
Yes. It's like, I mean, our office did a Harlem Shake video.
Oh god,
recently, a month late.
Are you in it?
No, I'm not. I said, this is a month late. This, we've really got our finger on the pulse.
You guys and your pop culture.
Forced fun.
Out of date.
As this is the podcast that hates fun. And so I maintain that outside the podcast as well.
It's not an act. It's not an act.
Not just for show.
No.
It's totally legitimate. Anyway, we are here today to talk the 1995 anthology movie Memories. But first, the regular features. And as always, we begin with the UK anime releases for this week, which there are two. First up is Bodacious Space Pirates Part 2. I said I was going to buy Part 1, and just like saying I was going to watch it on Crunchyroll last year, I have not kept that promise. So all I can tell you is I've watched the first two episodes on Crunchyroll many months back. Well, over a year back now. And maybe one day I will either watch the rest of it on Crunchyroll or buy those DVDs.
The thing is, it's pretty good as well.
I know, that's the silly thing.
I'm sure, like, I really enjoyed it, but for some reason, some unforeseen force just kept me and it apart.
Well, I always find it's a limited amount of time. And also, and then once I'm behind on episodes, then that becomes a bigger job, because I like watching shows weekly when they're a weekly show.
Yeah,
and so I just end up not watching the rest of them entire at all.
Yeah, it's always a pain trying to catch up with stuff so that you can watch it as it comes out.
Yeah,
I'm like that with Hunter X Hunter at the moment, where I'm like 30 episodes behind. And I need to catch up so badly, but I look at it on Crunchyroll and it's like, I've already seen these ones. I've already seen the boring ones. But yeah, one day, shortly.
Before they get to the Chimera.
Well, just before they start getting good again, because, you know, I really like it anyway, but just that feeling in the back of your mind where you're like, you know what's going to happen. Do I skip ahead? Do I just skip these 30 or what? It's a big risk.
And the other release is Penguin Drum on DVD. We don't get the Blu-ray here, because it's a Kaze release through manga. Kaze don't seem to be as risk-friendly on releasing Blu-rays as manga have started to become again. Mm. So I have ordered this. Just pre-ordered, just before we started recording.
Well, you were a big fan of this, weren't you?
I am, but it's another one of those shows where I missed some weeks, and so I don't think I've seen past episode 6.
All I've seen is the theme song on YouTube. I like the theme song, but the singer is annoying. And the show looks pretty colorful. It's got interesting backgrounds. It's like they're really like eye popping like, more than the characters. It's weird.
Yeah, it's designed to an inch of its life as well.
I barely remember. I remember someone with a penguin hat. Am I right in thinking
that?
Yeah,
the penguin hat is a character itself.
Oh, right. Like the sorting hat from Harry Potter.
Well, if the sorting hat raised somebody from the dead and gave them a dominatrix-type personality, then yes. I've not seen the Harry Potter films.
I don't think Dumbledore was resurrected and... Spoilers! Big spoilers! But, yeah.
Because I found, and by the time this comes out, it may be too late for anybody to do anything about it, but I am keeping it secret on Twitter because I don't want people to notice and go, that's not the price it should be, and that's not the proper description for it. But if you search around for it, you can find it listed as complete series, though the illustration clearly shows it's the part one that is on Amazon. But it is £12.99 as opposed to £22.
Ah, so you've got it really cheap.
I hope so. I hope that doesn't get cancelled, or that gets cancelled saying, oh no, it's not the complete series anymore, it's part one, so therefore we're cancelling that order.
Well, I might have to drop Mr. Amazon a little call, make him aware of his...
it's not on Amazon. Amazon have got it as part one and for £22. But I'm not
going to tell everybody else the throne.
I'm just saying how I found it. I'm not saying where I found it.
You can now. Because by the time this comes out, will it be
still
released?
2 days.
Oh. Yes. Oh, right. Okay. Just tell me. Because I might order it just because I know I can get it cheap. I might want to order it.
I'll tell you after the show.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah, and that's your lot for the UK NMI releases this week. Yeah, I'm such a cheapskate. I don't want anyone else to take part in my bargains in case the bargain disappears. This is what happened with that Amazon US marketplace one. They had all their really bizarre pricing on stuff. And someone on Twitter let everyone know about it, and so therefore everyone ordered from it. And all the orders got cancelled. Cool. Apart from the ones which happened right at the start when whoever was dispatching didn't notice. Yeah, so it's the thing. If you find a bargain sometimes and it looks like a mistake, it's better to keep it secret.
Keep it secret, keep it safe.
Okay. Aaron, what you watch?
What you watch?
I watched a few things. I watched that movie, the Gainax one, Royal Space Force, Wings of Honeyamies, however you say it.
I say I don't know.
Never seen it?
I think I've seen bits of it. I know I recorded it off the TV at one point. But I'm not sure I ever sat down and watched the entirety of it.
It's a long one. And it looks really great. The animation and the backgrounds are really nice. And they do this interesting stuff with the lighting that you don't usually see in anime. But the story is kind of meandering and just sort of... There's a lot of scenes where they're not bad scenes, but you kind of wonder what they're in the movie for. Mm-hmm. And the DVD I got was really terrible. I mean, you could see like the individual pixels on the screen were practically the size of like a thumbnail or something. It was terrible. But so I took off my glasses, and then my eyes are bad enough that I didn't notice without my glasses on.
Was this the manga entertainment release?
I'm not sure. It seemed like a really early DVD.
Yeah, I looked at the wiki page, and it says it was severely criticized for its poor quality.
Sounds like the one, yeah.
And then they did, and then Bandai Visual did a remastered one in 2007, which no doubt was hugely expensive, as I believe Bandai Visual stuff was in 2007.
So I also watched Miami Connection. Have you guys heard of that movie?
It rings a bell.
Yeah,
it's a terrible movie from the late '80s by I think a Korean martial arts master guy named YK Kim, and he'd seen apparently 6 movies before he made this one. Then he decided that he needed to make a movie to sort of talk about the virtues of true friendship and loyalty. And it's so weird and overly sincere when it shouldn't be. And then the ending gets really ultra violent, and they start killing like dozens of people. It's a terrible movie. It's hilarious, yeah. Well, it's about on par with The Room in terms of bad movies. Oh, I think it's It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. So yeah, if you like terrible movies, that's one to watch.
Yeah, I think Doug Benson mentioned it on Doug Loves Movies when he was doing some shows from whatever film festival is held by Drafthouse Cinemas.
Yeah, they Drafthouse distribute Cinemas. It, yeah. That's it.
Yeah. He's actually in the film as well, YK Kim.
Yeah, I think it's sort of like Tommy Wiseau at The Room. I think he wrote it, produced it, directed parts of it, and starred in it. And he can't speak English either. I think, if anything, his English is even worse. It's sad. It's hilarious.
But you did kind of like it.
Oh, I loved it, yeah.
Oh, good.
But, apparently, it currently has 75% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's pretty high, considering, considering. Yeah. They're a strict bunch over there. Yeah. Oh,
in fact, it's gone up since that Wikipedia page was written. It now says 79%.
That's really high. The Rotten Tomatoes scores are sometimes so unbelievably harsh. Unfairly harsh a lot of the time. So
must be taking pity on this one. It's apparently bankrupted the guy for years, and then he had to slowly rebuild his fortune that he blew on the movie.
He's not done another film since. So maybe he's packed his bags and done something else.
Yeah.
Oh, he runs a martial arts school in Orlando, Florida, apparently.
Yeah.
So there you go, if you want to... That's your neck of the woods, isn't it?
No, he's in Canada. Yeah.
Well, could really be in Canada. I'm going to be going to the US soon, but...
could be further away.
Well, I predicted it.
Not going to Florida, though.
Oh, I thought you were going to go on a martial arts voyage across America.
Just to meet YK Kim. No, yeah, I don't think I'll be going to his dojo.
Dojo. You're giving him a lot of credit there. Dojo is very a respectful term.
Last thing I watched was that movie from a year or two ago, Friends with Kids, which had half the cast of Bridesmaids. And so I saw that and I said, oh, how bad could it be? They're all pretty funny. But the writer and director and star, is running theme in my what you watch here, is Jennifer Westfeld, I think is her name. And I don't like her too much. I didn't think she was a good actress, and the script was really boring. And somehow it takes all these really funny people and makes them not funny.
Ooh.
It's just a really mediocre movie.
Bridesmaids is great as well.
Yeah, Bridesmaids is good.
Really good.
It's got Jon Hamm, Kristen Wiig, Maya Rudolph, and Chris O'Dowd, I think.
Yeah.
I think Chris O'Dowd's the only one who's even a little bit funny in it.
It's a shame, because that's something a good bunch.
Yeah, exactly. Sounds like you can't miss. But
yeah, I think it wasn't supposed to be a comedy, but because it had got people from Bridesmaids in it, they cut a trailer which made it look like a comedy.
No.
Oh, I didn't even see the trailer. I just I rented it on demand, and it was, I don't know, there were parts that were supposed to be funny, definitely, and then there was also a lot of drama. Yeah, it wasn't nearly as much a pure comedy as Bridesmaids would be.
No. Yeah, I think that was the discussion they were talking about it on the Mark Mode and Simon Mayo program back when it came out over here. It was like it kind of been mismarketed.
Yeah.
Because it's like comedy people.
Yeah, so that's it for me this week, or this month, or I don't know.
Visit.
This visit.
Visit.
Yeah.
Visit to the Dynamite and the Brain dojo.
Okay. Okay, Anthony, what you got for us?
I've been reading a bit of manga, I've been reading a bit of Naruto. I'm trying to kind of catch up. I'm going slowly, but I don't even know what's happening anymore. I've read to the point where I am, but I'm at this stage where it's very kind of unclear as to what's going on. Just because I took a little bit of a break, I have no recollection what I've been part of for the past however many months where it's been jammed in my brain to read, but I've not bothered. So, I mean, it's still good. I still want to kind of get some closure because I would like it to finish at some point and then I can end my life knowing that I know the full saga.
I thought you were just going to finish it there. You're going to end your life.
No, I'm aware of what's happened to Naruto and his buddies. Yeah, and I've also... I don't know. I want to see it end because it's just getting. I'm getting far behind. You know, I'm not mega far behind, but I just like some closure. I like closure.
The new opening and ending are quite fun. That's all I know about Naruto.
Well, maybe I'll check it out. But to be honest, it would probably spoil stuff. In fact, no, it wouldn't, because I think I'm slightly past the anime.
I was going to say, if you've caught up on the manga, then...
Catching up. I'm slowly getting there. But yeah, I'm probably past it. Secondly to that, I watched episodes 1 and 2 of that show, Gargantia. Of the Verdu planet. Is it Verdu?
Or Verdant.
Verdant. Oh, well,
I can't remember.
There's a few things, but it's Gargantia. And I detested the first 10 minutes of the first episode because you just get thrown into this big battle and it's just totally meaningless action where... But it's intended. It's intended. Basically, guy who's in this big battle, he ends up on Earth and he's more technologically advanced than them. He's from a different, like, whether it be... solar system or whatnot, it's still unclear, and he doesn't speak their language, and they're trying to communicate with him, and it's all right. It's nothing too much to write home about, but I guess it looks pretty. But I don't like the look of the robot that he pilots. It looks very CG. Not in a terrible, terrible way, but it just stands out too much from what else, because everything else looks pretty good aside that, so that's about it, really.
Okie doke. Well, talking of anime mecha shows, I watched the first episode and a bit just because I got... Not because I didn't like it, it's just because I had to go and do something else. Of Valvrave the Liberator.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one.
As I said on Twitter, it does kind of feel like the people who made this were drunk when they were brainstorming what the storyline was going to be, and then just left every idea everybody had in the show. It is by... It sort of swerves from, like, oh, I can't believe you're doing that sort of cliched nonsense, to I can't believe you're doing that insane thing I've never seen in an anime show before.
So is it good?
I don't know. It's watchable. It's very watchable, if only to see where on earth it's going to go next. Because, and this is, if Anthony watches this, don't switch off during the credits. Because I know you have a habit of doing that.
Yeah. I don't want to see previews. I don't like previews.
Well, no, there's a final twist in the first episode that happens after the credits. Okay. And it is an enormous twist.
I did actually, this was on my little list of things to watch from the new stuff, so I forgot about it, but it was on the list. If I was to ever look back, it would be there.
All I would say is you start up the robot with a sort of like a Windows-style pop-up which says, do you resign as a human being, yes or no?
And, is it a comedy?
Bits of it are comedy. Bits of it are super violent homage to the opening of the original Gundam,
yeah,
as a lot of these mecha shows are. Yeah, it's crazy. And watchable. Other things I watched was the first episode of Teen Titans Go, the new Teen Titans cartoon that the fans of Young Justice and Green Lantern are mad at because it's taken away their precious, serious superhero cartoons with...
Whatever.
comedy show. Split into two episodes, each episode. And also, the old Teen Titans fans are complaining that it's not as serious as the old Teen Titans cartoon, which wasn't that serious to begin with. But no, this is straight-up gag stuff. The first one was okay. The second one was a lot funnier because it had a fairly grim punchline. Well, not grim, but a dark, sort of a blackly comedic punchline to the entire thing. Surprisingly, and it swerves, so it's not quite as dark as it appears to be for a kid's cartoon. But it's kind of like the sort of darkness that Adventure Time might go into. And then also I've been watching Kamen Rider Decade, which was their 10th anniversary of the Kamen Rider reboot, which is sort of all alternate reality Kamen Riders, which I'm enjoying a lot. If only because there's no real hero in it. The hero is supposedly going to destroy these nine worlds and kill all the other Kamen Riders. And there's not much in his behaviour which really suggests that he's not going to do this at any point. He kind of tries to not do it, but he's also very sort of cold. He hasn't really got much of a warm-hearted personality to him. Mm. And the secondary rider is even worse than that. And none of the other riders in any of these worlds he visits is particularly nice either, apart from the first one who sort of becomes his sidekick and his conscience. And then finally I went and saw a little film called Iron Man 3.
Oh.
which did my back in. I had a very bad back on Thursday and decided I'd still go and see the film because this was the only 2D showing they were showing in my town. And I didn't want to have to wait for it to come out on DVD in order to not see it in 3D.
Did it come out over there first?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so we tend to get a lot of the Marvel ones a week before they come out in the US.
Why is that?
I don't know. Because we have to wait bloody ages for Disney cartoons.
Yeah.
Like months for Wreck-It Ralph. But yeah, we tend to get the Marvel ones a week early. In fact, I think a lot of places which aren't America do. I think they got them in, got it opened in Australia as well. So I imagine probably the rest of Europe. And they were in Russia doing the premiere as well. So.
And how is it? I want to know.
Oh, it's so much better than Iron Man 2. So much better. And did you like Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, Shane Black's film?
Oh,
yes.
Yes, well, it's definitely a Shane Black film. That's all I say. I don't want to talk too much about it. I want to talk a lot about it, but I don't want to because it's a Shane Black film. So you're going to be surprised by various things.
I totally forgot it was out. It was kind of like, oh, I'm going to see Iron Man 3 tomorrow. And I was like, oh, it's out. And I'm still not massively fussed, but...
No, I mean, I wasn't when Avengers finished. And Avengers is still better in terms of superhero action.
Mm-hmm.
The superhero action in Iron Man 3 is still sort of a bit of a mess compared to Avengers, because I think particularly the final sequence in Avengers was very well storyboarded, so you could follow the action quite well in a way.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, that a lot of these modern action movies don't seem to manage. Whereas there's a lot going on in Iron Man 3, and it is a bit of a clusterfuck. Mm. But the actual non-superhero action and the comedy is...
The Shane Black stuff.
Yeah, it's top-notch.
That's what I'm interested in, anyway.
Yeah.
And also, there is no continuity nonsense.
All right,
at no point does Samuel L. Jackson appear to talk about the plot of a film which isn't happening on the screen in front of you.
It's already better than the second one, just based on that.
Exactly. Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. And I'd say there was more laughs from watching Iron Man 3 than most comedies you go to see in the cinema.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And that's what you watched for this week. So, Anthony, it's time for the weekly retro.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about it. Nearly forgot.
And this one's your choice, so you get to do the recap. It's Mr. Stain on Junk Alley, episode 1.
And it is called Egg, which, just to let you know, you can all find this on YouTube, it's only short. And, so I'll do the plot first, I'm just scrolling down to it. So, Mr. Stain, this strange hobo, that all I could gather from the first episode, lives in this junkyard. Or certainly, he certainly lurks in a junkyard like a creepy guy. And he comes across an egg in this junkyard, and we're trying to take it home, which... I presume he's not a hobo because he got a house, but while trying to take it home, he is followed by a strange cat-like being by the name of Palvan, is that correct?
I think that's right, that's his name.
I wouldn't know how to pronounce it. Palvan, who stands around waiting very creepily for him to drop his guard and steal the egg for himself. And in this process, I'm going to skip the scary bits for now, but the egg hatches and out comes this weird fish. That looks like a weird rubber fish. And it starts eating Mr. Stain. And Palvan saves him by throwing a bottle off the fish's head. And then they eat the fish over a hot junkyard barbecue. And I don't know what else there is to say in regards to plot than that.
Well, though the Mr. Stain had thrown a bottle at the cat's head.
Oh yes, there is reasoning. Yeah, and yes. It's very brutal. It's weird. It's scary.
It's brutal in numerous ways.
I want to start with the eyes. Those are the scariest eyes I've ever seen. Especially from Palvan the fish guy. The cat guy. He has the darkest glare. The darkest glare. And everything about it is scary, whether it's intended or not, because the CGI isn't too bad. It's very kind of CITV children's show, kind of cheap production.
Like, now, when you say it isn't too bad, what you really mean to say is it's horrible.
But considering, there's stuff I've seen on, like, kids' TV now that is CG in this similar way that looks far worse.
Name
far
one.
Cheaper. I don't know no titles.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at a picture. This looks atrocious.
But look, it's like, it's 10 years old.
Yeah, it's 10 years old.
Even for 10 years old. This looks like 20 years old.
Yeah, my thought was if this had aired during Liquid Television in the 90s, I might have been on board with it and I might have had some sort of nostalgia for it. But being made to watch it now, I was like, this is the longest 8 minutes of my life.
No, it's only 8 minutes.
It's like a weird art house film that kind of goes nowhere, then all of a sudden escalates really, really quickly. In the form of a bottle being thrown off a human's head and then a dribble of blood rolling down his head and staying. It's all very weird.
Now, did you mention this is all mimed as well? There's no dialogue.
I guess that's an important point. And if there was dialogue, I think it would lose its charm.
This sounds so bad.
I would urge everyone to go, because it's on YouTube.
It's actually on Funimation's YouTube site, and it does not appear to be geo-blocked. Yeah, they want to inflict this on everybody.
I really I enjoyed it, and I would certainly like to see episode 2, just to see what they can possibly do, because it seems like there's no bounds. I know what you're going to say, Brian, but there is no bounds in this show.
What I'm going to say is how on earth can you want us to watch the next episode of this and not want to have watched the next episode of Ninja Scroll TV series?
Me and Ninja Scroll TV go way back. That show beat me as a kid. When I was disappointed that it wasn't Ninja Scroll.
Because that was superior in every way to this.
It's totally... The cat thing is the scariest thing to come out. To think this is a kid's show? It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I don't know. I'm sure there's better ones. Better scary kid CG things. Even from around this time.
I can't believe it, because maybe, that would be like subliminal scares, but this is just in your face, anger, and there's a lot of emotion in Mr. Stain and his junk alley. It's a very weird show, and even if you ever see, like, think I'm bored, 7 minutes, because it flies over, I think it flies over. You say it was the longest 7 minutes of your life, I was fascinated.
Is Mr. Stain the guy wearing the hat?
Yeah, he's the hopeless guy.
His beard is like... It just looks like three nails sticking out of his chin or something.
It's like Homer Simpson curl.
Yeah.
Not.
Well, this looks so bad.
Yeah, it's absolutely wrong. And you may actually have some of it, because they used to stick random episodes of it onto Funimation DVDs when there was space.
I didn't know that.
As like bonus cartoons. So. Double check all your Funimation DVDs, and if any have got them in, then throw them out. You don't want to accidentally put it on the disc and watch them.
But the junk alley is just this world ready to be explored. There's a crab with a traffic cone as a shell.
Yeah, that was the only thing I thought was funny, was that there was a hermit crab who was using a traffic cone as a shell.
Oh, I didn't laugh at anything. I was just deep out. It was very dark and very strange. And...
But obviously they thought they were going to be able to sell this around the world, because it's like, we'll do the Mr. Bean trick. We won't...
Oh, God.
We can localise it wherever you are, because we don't speak any language here. It's all done with the power of mime. The international language.
Power of mime. But it creepy sums it up, I think. Creepy CG.
There's a couple on, I think, French cartoons which are similarly mimed, but they don't go on for 7 minutes at the moment. There's the one with the little dog, I think called Monk, which confuses me because when I see it on the listings, I think, oh, it's time for some Tony Shalhoub. Why is it only 5 minutes long? Oh, it's that dog again.
It's a bite-sized chunk of Tony Shalhoub.
Yes. And I can't remember what the other one's called. The one my mum likes, about a lion getting into all sorts of scrapes. But those are really short. They make their jokes. And also, they're not really creepy.
This is mega creepy. The big question on everyone's lips is, do you want to see episode 2?
No!
Oh, I'm disappointed.
No way. I want to unsee this episode.
I picked a belter with this one.
Well, I've run through the randomizer again of the remaining, however many 80-odd shows there are left in 2003. And next week, we are going to look at the very first episode of Zatch Bell, a.k.a. Konjiki no Gatch Bell.
Yeah.
I remember that show.
I remember that.
The demon summoning Pokemon thing.
Yeah.
So, I bet it's not as good as this. We're going to build a rivalry.
It ran for 150 episodes, so I think there was a bit more of a following.
Maybe just Mr. Stain covers everything the fans could possibly want within this 13 episode master run.
Oh dear. Righty ho. That's UK releases, what you watch recaps. So that must mean it's time for Memories.
Memories.
The 1995 anthology film containing Magnetic Rose, Stink Bomb, and Cannon Fodder. Now, I mentioned before that I was going to buy Penguin Drum. So that doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to watch it in any sort of haste, because I think I've had this for 2 years and I've only just got around to watching it this weekend.
For the first time?
Well, here's the thing. I thought I was watching it for the first time, but I seem to, at least particularly Stink Bomb, it seemed very familiar to me. Stink Bomb and Cannon Fodder in particular. So I don't know whether I caught them at a convention or whether I just read some extremely detailed write-ups of them in the 90s. Because that's what happened in anime magazines in the 90s, when there was something you couldn't see. People would write up really detailed descriptions of what happened in them. So it was almost like you could. Or if you did get the chance and there was no subtitles, you'd have a chance of following what was going on. I experienced Legend of the Galactic Heroes that way, through VMAX magazine, which did like a episode-by-episode synopsis of Legend of the Galactic Heroes. So how about you guys? Had you seen this before?
I'd seen it a few years ago, because the first time I saw any of it was in a YouTube video. It was a collection of animation of backgrounds, where they would like move the backgrounds around on cells to do camera moves. And there was a lot of clips from, I think, Stink Bomb and this. And so it made me curious about seeing it, and I got the DVD. But I didn't actually see Magnetic Rose at that point. For some reason, I wasn't interested in watching that one. But yeah, I've seen it, I think, twice now. Yeah.
How about you, Anthony?
Same again. This is the first time I've seen it this weekend. I've known about it. I've wanted to see it, but it just seemed to hide from me every time I thought about watching. I was like, "Yeah." And this weekend, I broke the mold.
Which is weird, because we in the UK, we got it. Did it come out on DVD in America?
I've got it on DVD. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah.
I don't know when.
I think it came out later. Hey, I'm looking at. I'm looking at Amazon. I think the UK one came out 2004, and then it came out 2008, I think, on Region 1. Yeah, because I remember putting it up when I was at Videolog. It was like, oh, something I want to see. I should never get round to buying it for almost another decade. Yeah, so three films, two are 40 minutes long, and the third one's half an hour. So let's start with Magnetic Rose. Directed by Koji Morimoto, script by Satoshi Kon. Character design animation director is Toshiyuki Inoue, and chief animator was Hiroyuki Okiura. This involves sort of a space garbage men who we see them doing some work disposing of a redundant satellite, if I remember correctly. They're told to go off and do another job, but they say, no, we've clocked off, we don't cover that sector anyway, let's go home. And then they get a distress call, which is playing Madam Butterfly. And because apparently the international maritime laws are still in effect in space, they must go off and respond to the signal. And there's four crew members we meet. What are their names again? We've got
one of them is Aoshima.
Yes.
Remember that?
His voice by Shigeru Chiba. Voices Aoshima, who plays Buggy in One Piece, and there all sorts of other characters. Megane in Urusei Yatsura, Pilaf in Dragon Ball. The captain's Ivankov, played by Shouzo Iizuka, who I think the most famous role is Nappa in Dragon Ball Z.
Oh.
And then we get to all the Cowboy Bebop actors. Those Cowboy Bebop actors showing up. So the other two crew members are Miguel, Koichi Yamadaira, who is played by Spike in Cowboy Bebop, and Heinz, played by Tsutomu Isobe, who played Vincent in the Cowboy Bebop movie.
I did not know that until I read that on the note. I was like, whoa. Whoa.
Yeah, the voices sounded... I mean, all the voices sounded familiar. Shigeru Chiba I recognised straight away. Because he was doing that sort of character's voice that he uses a lot. Because he gets to play those sort of characters. And yeah, I kind of recognised Miguel and Heinz's voices. And I thought, oh, better look, who played them? And I was like, oh, Cowboy Bebop, Cowboy Bebop. And then the other main voice we're going to get to was also in Cowboy Bebop. So Miguel and Heinz go investigate. Heinz is this family man, and Miguel is this playboy who's got girlfriends in multiple spaceports, apparently. And then we get to the bit of the film which is harder to describe.
Which bit?
The source of the distress call is in the centre of a space Sargasso, where apparently there's all sorts of magnetic anomalies which drag ships to their doom. And the centre of these magnetic anomalies is a giant space metallic rose, some sort of space station.
One might say a magnetic rose?
Yes. And we should say also all these are based on ideas and comics by Katsuhiro Otomo. I never quite know how to pronounce his surname.
Yeah, I think that's right.
This is the only one, I believe, which was a pre-existing comic. I think he wrote comics, or at least stories, for the other two for the film. Mm-hmm. Which may be why those two fit together thematically better than Magnetic Rose does. Though Magnetic Rose definitely gives the collection its title.
Yeah.
Because it was in a short story. I think the short story collection it was part of was called Memories as well, at least when it was published over in the US. So anyway, they go inside the space station, Heinz and Miguel, in their... Oh, we should say all the space... stuff apart from the rose is sort of function rather than form. They're not sort of super exciting.
I love that there's no gravity in the spaceship and there's no up direction. They're all sitting at weird angles to each other.
Yeah, and also
it feels a lot more believable than most space travel you see in TV shows.
Yeah, and also because it's a film, they get to animate them dragging themselves around. Zero-G, whereas when it's TV zero-G, it's because this is an opportunity for us to save money by just moving people without any sort of animation at all.
Exactly. Just drag the cell along.
They get inside the space station and discover it is ridiculously opulent.
Well, I like that word.
But no signs of life. And but they discover, so they split up, which is a bad idea.
As if they've never seen sci-fi films before.
Well, yeah, it kind of, I mean, I was looking at the trivia page on IMDb, and apparently they use a sound effect out of Alien.
Oh, really?
That's fitting.
Which is, because it's like Alien if Alien was the emotions of an opera singer rather than Alien.
Which is possibly, some might say, more horrifying.
So apparently this space station belonged to a opera singer known as, whose name was Eva Friedel, who disappeared following the death of her fiancé, Carlo Rambaldi. And as they go through, they start encountering different versions of Eva, and who appears to be trying to seduce them in differing ways.
It's Miguel, very creepy.
Who is quite easy to seduce.
A little too easy. I think he wanted it all from the beginning. He knew.
Whereas Heights, it goes at the, Eva goes after the memories of his daughter and his family.
She has to stab him to seduce him.
Yes.
Yeah.
And while this is happening, the spaceship outside is getting into more and more trouble with the magnetic field.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty much what happens.
Yeah, that, without giving too much away, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it was kind of, it kind of does what, okay, let me just get me, let, it feels like a such a good Hollywood sci-fi film. It feels like what I liked about Prometheus in this kind of exploration. Because, you know, it's a solid sci-fi film. They do everything right. And then it lacks everything that I dislike about Prometheus, which is silly things. So it's all very solid to think that it's, what, 40 minutes, 45 minutes?
Yeah, it's 40 minutes.
I would quite happily watch this as an hour and a half, like a... Yeah, I'll just let them throw more stuff in, because I'm sure they could. It's such a great plot. It's such a great concept, I think. I love this kind of people on this unknown place, the places are trying to do stuff to them. It's great. You have a field day with that kind of plot.
Well, the problem is, when you start throwing other stuff in, you start ruining films. The example...
Prometheus!
Yeah, well, the best example is Imposter.
Imposter?
The... which version is it? It's the Gary Sinise film, because that's based on a Philip K. Dick short story. Originally, it was intended to be part of an anthology film. So the original running time, I believe, is 40 minutes. And as a 40-minute short story, as part of an anthology, it works really well.
Yeah.
However, nobody made the other parts of the anthology, so they had to expand it to a full-length feature film. And then it all falls apart. So it's one of the ones where you want to watch the shorter version of the film rather than the full length version.
Well, that makes sense, I suppose. Yeah. Mm.
Which and yeah. You can see also that in every other Philip K. Dick short story adaptation.
Well, Blade Runner.
Yeah,
that's a novel.
That's a novella, really, isn't it?
Right? Yeah, true. So that's a...
True. Minority Report certainly has a lot of nonsense stuck in.
Which I really like that film.
I'd read the short story and it was like, it just needled me too much. Because also, most of the heroes in Philip K. Dick stories are white-collar schlubs who look like schlubs and they don't look like Tom Cruise.
That was mistake number one.
What about Scanner Darkly?
Oh, I've not seen that one.
Good film.
I haven't read the book, but I like that movie.
Yeah, it's really good. Really good.
So, back to Magnetic Rose.
Yeah. But yeah, I just think it does everything like a supernatural sci-fi should. And like, I could go through a big checklist and stuff, and it just does it well. Very, very
it's
well.
It's really good. It's a masterpiece.
It really is, and I'm surprised I like this as much as I did, because I didn't really go into memories thinking, I'm going to come out really liking this. It's going to be another thing that I watch. But this one... was a lot more than that.
Yeah, it almost... While I was watching it, made me think, like, if Stanley Kubrick had directed an episode of Star Trek or something. Like, obviously, it's not quite as sort of retro-futuristic with the shiny spaceships and stuff, but I don't know, this sort of the structure of the story feels a lot like a lot of episodes of the original Star Trek. Where they go and meet some being that's trying to preserve its past life with all these illusions, and then they have to try and stop it from doing that, I guess.
Yeah,
the only thing I didn't like, I think, was the final shot of the Magnetic Rose in all its CG glory.
The giant rose.
Yeah, it just hadn't quite aged as well. But still looked better than Mr. Stain on Junk Alley. Even though it was 8 years older.
That's only one frame. I could render that rose in one frame, but I couldn't make an animated cat pick up an egg. That's special. So I want to... I don't know if we're going to go into more deep... more depth, I should say, with this, but... Was she a ghost? Was she AI? Was she what was she? What was Eva?
I think they give you another explanation as to what she is. It's a ghost story, but it has a science fiction explanation.
And was what was he called? Heinz?
Yeah.
Was his daughter dead? In his life back at home, did she die? Because you see like a strange flashback dream sequence where he gives her like a space suit for her birthday, and then a little bit later you see her climb on the roof to fix this. What do you call them things?
Weather vane, was it?
One of those things. And she falls off the house. Was that a legit memory for him or not? Or was it planted?
I think it's legitimate.
Because it's really sad, that bit. It's like that is so like emotionally provoking. And it's really, really sad. Really sad. Very well executed, though. Whereas Miguel's kind of... he gets the good deal. He doesn't get any sad memories brought back. He's just there living at large with an opera singer. But yeah, I just want to confirm that she was probably dead, his daughter. As sad as it is, but yeah.
And all the music's by Yoko Kanno in this one.
Oh, damn.
Apart from the bits which are directly Puccini.
Yeah, I thought there were some that sounded like it was just a
some of, I think the rest
piece.
Of it is sort of Puccini pastiche or the one thing which did get me scratching my head is the bit in the flashback with Heinz's family sitting around the breakfast table. Is the music on the radio to me sounded a bit like the Wallace and Gromit theme.
It really is. It really is.
So I wasn't sure whether the Wallace and Gromit music also is influenced by Puccini. Or whether it was deliberately invoking the Wallace and Gromit music. Because I'm sure everyone was aware of it in 1995 around the world.
Really?
Yes.
What year is Wallace and Gromit?
You don't realise. You can remember when the first one is quite a while ago. Granddad.
Yeah.
Was that early 90s or late 80s?
89, the first one.
That's a bit of shocking, actually. I don't like the film too much. I tried to watch. Was it Were-Rabbit?
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the film.
Oh, it's really good.
And I feel like I've seen a close shave, like. Once a year for the past 16 years or something, at least.
I think a matter of life and death perhaps went to the well once too often, but I really like The Curse of the Were-Rabbit.
Is that the
matter of life and death?
Yeah, that's the most recent one from 2008.
Oh, I didn't see
after
that.
The movie, right?
Yeah.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one.
Didn't even know it was a thing.
Oh, there you go. Pirates was good.
Yeah, I like Nick Park.
I don't think he did that one, but he was up.
He wouldn't, would he? He wouldn't.
I'm sure he's got something cooking. Just takes
chicken runs no good.
Takes. It's a bit chicken. Of what I enjoyed it, but I don't think I think I was too unfair on it the first time I watched it, in comparing it to Wallace and Gromit.
I know I saw it, but I don't remember anything about it. I didn't find it too memorable.
As an adult, I would probably like it a little bit more, but as a child, in like the year 2000, it was kind of I say a child, how old was it? Oh, yeah, I was only 10 years old, 11 years old or something. So, yeah, probably wanted it to be.
Whereas I've only seen it as an adult. Anything else to talk about? Yeah, so this is Koji Morimoto, who directed various things. I think the thing we've discussed of his on this podcast has been his Animatrix contribution and his contribution to Genius Party, which is a dimension bomb.
Oh, that was a bit of a thinker. That was a bit of a thinking one, yeah.
So I've got his art book, Orange, which in the back of it has, in Japanese and English, as everything, all the text is in his art book, a talk with him and Otomo.
So I thought, regarding this? Or...
Well, no, I thought, hey, those two people have got a talk. they chat about something in the back of that book. I'll have a look at it. I'm sure they must talk about memories. No, that's pretty much the only thing they don't talk about. But, yeah, so they talk about how they first met on Genma Wars. Because I think Otomo was doing the character design on that. And then they worked together on Neo Tokyo. And also Robot Carnival. And apparently Otomo introduced Morimoto to Kraftwerk and Art of Noise.
Can't do that.
And they used to talk about how Rintaro used to hire people at Mushi Productions and Madhouse who weren't animators, just people out straight out of art school to work on various things. But yeah,
not memories.
Not memories, but yeah, everything's covered but memories. That was a little disappointing. I don't think there's any memories artwork either in the art book.
And it looks great as well.
There's an art book for Memories itself. I think it's called The Memory of Memories. Yeah.
I'd like to see maybe it just this one, maybe not so much the other two.
Yeah. I think they all look great, but I think this one's probably the most impressive. Yeah.
Yes.
It's got Okira doing the lead animation on it. He's always pretty great, especially like the realistic stuff like this and like Jinro. He's probably the best animator that I've seen who does that kind of ultra-realistic movement and designs and stuff.
Yeah, and I found a old Belgian fanzine which had Memories on the cover. And they mentioned that apparently they were working on this. I don't know which one. I imagine this was the one which took the longest for 4 years.
Wow. That's a long time. That's 10 minutes a year. I know I'm being totally literal about it, but wow,
it's true though. Yeah,
it is great. I'm so pleased I finally watched this one. I was quite happy just to pack my bags and be done with this one, and like leave it at that. Like the rest of them at this point, I was kind of like, yeah, they're not going to live up to it.
And yeah, do they? It's definitely worth following Morimoto's new studio, Fai. On Facebook, because
the author, thigh,
PHI.
Oh, I think it meant like thigh, isn't it? Chicken thigh.
Because he often posts stuff in English. I think he's doing, some American university is doing a sort of a internet seminar with, which also goes, is also passes as an advert for his art book as well, I noticed on the flyer. Anything else you want to mention about Magnetic Rose before we move on to Stink Bomb?
In the documentary on the disc, I think Morimoto mentions that he and Satoshi Kon thought the story for this one was weak, so they reworked it and sort of fleshed out the characters a lot more. And I think that's probably why this one, well, at least to me, this one works a bit better than the others in terms of the narrative. Just feels like it's got more to it.
Yeah. Whereas the other two are sort of more...
They're a bit more one-note.
They're more satiric pieces, aren't they? Than a story.
Self-contained, I found. But it made me want to watch Event Horizon straight away after watching this. I didn't end up watching because it's quite a long film. But I like me sci-fi, you know? It's rarely you get a good one these days, anyway. Not that this film is at all these days, but, you know... I really pick one up there. I'm like, kind of, oh, wow, that was really good. So it was nice to have a welcome change.
Okay, let's move on to Stink Bomb, which is directed by Tensai Okamura, script by Katsuhiro Otomo, and character design, animation director, and chief animator was Hirosugu Kawasaki. And for those who want to know, Okamura and Kawasaki are reunited on Naruto the Movie, Ninja Clash in the Land of Snow.
Which is dreadful.
If
it's the one I've seen. I'm hoping it is the one I've seen. I'll tell you, it's not very good. But, I don't like those Naruto films. They're really, really below par.
Righty-ho, who wants to have a go at synopsizing this one? No, see, now I've done the hard one.
I could try this one, I guess.
Oh no! Don't leave me to do cannon fodder.
Okay. All right, you take this one.
Yeah, I'll take the reins of this one. So, I never note down characters' names because, especially in a short film, it's not too important. But yeah, seems to be set in obviously Japan and like a medical hospital where they, you know, they treat patients as well as coming up with new medicines, new serums for whatever. Flu, whatnot, and one gentleman who works in the hospital feels terribly, terribly feverish, and one of his colleagues advises him to go into his boss's office and take one of the red pills from the blue jar, which he goes in and he does, and it's got sample written across it, and he decides to go. At this point, we aren't aware, but he does end up going for a lie down because he's feeling very sleepy, and at this point, everyone in the hospital begins to smell a strange perfume smell, this strange aroma. So it cuts back to him, and he gets out of bed, and he goes down to find everyone. At this point, which I thought they were all dead, until it reveals that they are actually unconscious, which I was quite relieved about. And everyone's unconscious, and at least in the hospital, and at least outside. And he gets a phone call, he raises an alarm, which then alerts the government to some degree. And he gets a mission to bring these pills to the government in Tokyo because it's serious business. And it's then revealed that he, in fact, is the source of this perfume, and he is, in fact, a stink bomb.
I'm pretty sure he is killing everybody.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But in the subs that I've seen, they just refer to it as unconscious.
Huh. Okay, was this the DVD or some dodgy subs you found?
No, it wasn't. It was a... It was dodgy found, but it was a Blu-ray rip.
Okay.
So it was very good quality, but I'll be really saddened if it is, in fact, they're all dead.
No, they're all dead.
Yeah, are you sure?
It doesn't work. The story doesn't work unless they're killing everybody.
Yeah, why? It can work. No. It could. Oh, damn it. Oh, well, they're all dead, and I was kind of... At first I was like, whoa, this is kind of dark. And
it is
dark, yeah. And especially now that I know they're all dead, which I didn't realise at the time. No wonder I didn't like it quite as much as the first one. But yeah, serious business, really serious business. And he ends up getting hunted down by the army, the government, and then the Americans come and save the day, like they do, and they've kind of got these astronaut suits to protect themselves from the stink, from the smell. And there's a big twist at the end, and it's quite amusing.
Yeah,
but it's not so amusing now that I know that they all actually die. So,
yes, because that means they're not trying to save the day. They're trying to capture the weapon they were
Wow, this is like a whole new stink bomb. It explains it rather as a bomb rather than just a bloke who smells of perfume.
No, it's a foul-smelling, a deadly body odour.
And the faster he moves and the more emotionally heightened that he becomes, the more stench is released and at a faster rate. And it's, wow, they all die. Wow. And that's it. That's Stink Bomb.
Well, no, you should also worth pointing out that he's also trying to... He is, for the most part of the film, completely unaware.
Yeah, he has no idea what he's doing.
See, and this is why I don't do synopsis. I'm terrible at synopsis.
All he's trying to do is deliver this briefcase, which is the final punchline of the film.
But don't tell the audience.
Yeah.
It's pretty obvious.
Especially now. But see, that's why I never do synopsis. I'm dreadful at synopsis.
It was fine other than that.
Yeah.
I missed it. Yeah, thanks.
The key fact.
Oh, don't say it like that. Yeah, the fact that they're all dead, in fact. Oh, it'd be like telling somebody about The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly and forgetting to mention it was a Western or something bizarre. Oh, wow! That's weird to think they're dead. That's really depressing. It's no longer a humorous twist at the end. It's like the darkest twist.
I don't think you're the only one who's made that mistake. Well, obviously, the people who did whatever dodgy subtitles you were watching made that mistake. But I think there was comments on the IMDb page about people asking, are they dead or unconscious?
It's like... Initially, they look very, very dead.
Like, yeah, and, but the joke is he just thinks they're all unconscious.
Doesn't one of the first girl he meets, she still has her eyes open or something? I think it's pretty clear that she's dead.
See, that's when I saw, I was kind of like, oh god, this is getting brutal fast. And then he does say that people are unconscious. Oh, damn it. Subtitles. I'm going to move to dubs. Stuff this. Nah, I'm subbing malarkey. I'm moving to dubs. And get things more incorrect. Lost in translation.
Now, you said that obviously you could... it was the first one was a good sci-fi film. Would you think Magnetic Rose would work live action? And then do you think this would work live action? Because I think both of them you could.
This would be more tongue-in-cheek, much more humorous.
I don't know. It might be more depressing if it was real people.
I think so, yeah. I think the animation works to sort of, you know, give another barrier between you and the content.
Thank goodness.
If it was in live action, it might be too horrific to just see everybody dropping dead everywhere. And the animals and stuff. Like, there's that shot of the frog with its leg twitching. That's pretty uncomfortable.
So sad. The more I think about it, the more like all these innocent individuals that try to help them just collapse and die. And I was kind of thinking, oh, this is all well and good. They're unconscious. They'll get up when the perfume ends or the.
It's not like they're dead.
Yeah. Wow. Lights out of city, literally.
Yes, you and Austin 100 on IMDb have the same question.
Oh, if only it was Austin 316. I wish you'd just pretend it was 316. What does he think of it? Does he think they're all...
In the subtitles for Stink Bomb, the main guy, I can't remember his name, says the people in the lab are unconscious. Is this you?
Yeah.
Oh, this is from 2005, though, so...
I see. Maybe I just planned it. I thought, oh, God, what if he looks it up on IMDb? What if he finds me, my old alias?
But at the same time, there are a lot of end-of-the-world comedies coming out at the moment.
There's so many, Is
there? I'm so behind on, like, releases and films and stuff. I feel like
haven't come out yet.
Which ones are you referring to?
It's that one where there's a party at James Franco's house.
Yes.
It's James Franco, not a character, but just James Franco himself. And then the end of the world happens. I think everybody plays themselves in that movie.
Seth Rogen, Danny McBride, James Franco.
Emma Watson.
Yeah.
This that sounds one, great.
I'm kind of interested in seeing that one, yeah.
Yeah, when I first saw the start of the trailer, I thought this is the most ridiculously self-indulgent thing I've ever seen. But I have to say, there were a couple of big laughs in the trailer. So I was you would be over.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, I mean, those guys play themselves in every film anyway. At least that's how they come, especially Seth Rogen. So why not just flip the names?
Every time I think of James Franco now, after seeing Spring Breakers, I just crack up. I can't take him seriously anymore.
He's good in 127 Hours.
Yeah, sometimes he's a good actor, but I think that Spring Breakers ruined him for me. going back from that.
So back to Stink Bomb.
Yeah.
I like this one a lot. It's my sort of terrible sense of humour. In sort of it's the combination of the bleakness, but his sort of optimistic attitude about just trying to do his job, and he feels better. That's the thing. He felt really bad at the start of the film with this terrible flu, and so while it has killed the rest of the entire Yamanashi Prefecture, basically he feels a lot better compared to where he was at the start of the film.
My big question. My huge, huge question is, forget the whole alive or dead thing, but Was it the pill that triggered it?
Well, on the wiki page, it suggests that it's a reaction with the flu shot he already had.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
But the pills were a biological weapon to begin with, which is why the Americans don't want him dead when the Japanese start trying to kill him.
I see.
And their plan works if it wasn't for the fact that...
He's an idiot.
He's an idiot, yes. Which kind of reminded me a bit of a Futurama, it could be the plot of a Futurama episode as well.
With Fry being there?
Yeah, with Fry as well. So anything else you want to talk about Stink Bomb?
I don't think so.
No, it deals with the military-industrial complex, but not as much of, it's not so much a satire on that as just sort of human nature and just having a very funny, nihilistic plot.
At the time of watching that, I really felt kind of, didn't really care too much for it, but now the more I've thought about it, the more I've finally understood what happens. It's grown on us a little bit. I think it is a decent short, so good strikes on the first two. Magnetic Rose and Stink Bomb, so they're doing well so far.
And let's move on to the third one then, Cannon Fodder. Director, script, storyboard, all by Katsuhiro Otomo, and character design, animation director, and chief animator is Hidekazu Ohara.
And plot by Mr. Long.
All right.
Please adopt this one.
Okay, so it's about a city that's constantly at war, and everything in the city sort of revolves around keeping this war going and firing these giant cannons off into the mist that surrounds the city. And all the people who live there are told by the government and the TV news and stuff that they're making progress and they're beating the other city that they're bombing, supposedly. But they never actually see anything. They never know what's actually going on. And I guess there's not really that much of a plot to it, but it sort of focuses on this family. There's the dad who works at the giant cannon place. And
cannon factory.
Yeah. And his son goes to school and is taught, and they give him all this propaganda about how they have to go blow up the other city. Sort of reminded me of 1984. But it just sort of follows a day in their life, I guess. And we see all the big machinery and the generals who are in charge of shooting the cannons and stuff. I think that's about it. Not too much happens. It's mostly just world building, I guess, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I think the big thing, which I don't think I noticed until I was looking through other people's message boards and stuff, is that as a thing, which the general suggestion is that this enemy they're fighting doesn't even exist.
Right.
And I think a big part of that is, I got that anyway, but the thing which someone pointed out is to do with the dad losing his gas mask, and supposedly they have to wear these gas masks to avoid dying when they're loading up the guns or when the guns fire. But then he doesn't actually die from that, so that's another,
I didn't even notice that,
another lie in this carefully constructed world they're living in.
See, I had a thought, because obviously it begins with the sun waking up and ends with him going to sleep. What is with the light that shines through his window? It has like a laser sound effect. I understand that they're probably not fighting anything, but I was like, is it aliens they're fighting?
I think it's supposed to make you wonder whether it's the city or maybe a real enemy.
Yeah, but the fact
it could just be some security thing.
Yeah, because he's sleeping through it.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, which suggests that this happens every night. That's...
Yeah, true. Yeah, it's a weird one.
It is.
I do love all the like a lot of the workers in the factories and whatnot. They've all got really like haggard faces, and it reminds me of like those photographs you'd see from the beginning of the century or something, where like workers and stuff from the 40s, where they've all got these really rough faces. Like, these faces are really well detailed for these hard-working men, and I like that. I like that.
Yeah, it's got a pretty sketchy art style.
Yeah, it reminded me a bit of his... the guy who did Hirapira with him isn't isn't involved in this, but it did remind me a bit of that.
It does, yeah.
And also, we should say, it's all one long continuous shot.
Yes.
No, what? Really?
Yeah, I think...
Yep.
They don't really draw too much attention to that. It's not like the short's designed around that, though.
No.
It's just sort of an extra gimmick, like, hey, look what we can do.
Yeah, I think it's also so they can play around with the CG backgrounds.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a bit sketchy. It doesn't quite work early on.
Mm-hmm. It's a bit distracting.
Yeah, but I think by the time the thing's over and done with it, it moves quite well, particularly the final bit where it moves into the boy's crayon drawing of what he's going to be when he grows up, because he doesn't want to be work in the factory like his dad. He wants to be the guy who shoots the gun.
Yeah. Oh, it must have been such a nightmare to do all the layouts for that. It's just, you see in the bonus features, they've got this background that's like an entire room on the floor. Like, it takes up the whole floor of this room. And that's just one of the backgrounds for like one section of it. Oh, it must have been so hard.
But yeah, I have to say, growing up in the 80s, this really was not hard to get my head around. Because it reminded me of the sort of thing, yeah, sort of Raymond Briggs a bit, in terms of both colour and sort of the darkly satirical subject matter. And yeah, say 1984, but I think whether it's just because it was the 80s, but it seemed like the 80s had a lot of things where it was like Cold War satire invoking that. Though this was oddly the third thing I had seen within 4 days, which kind of dealt with the idea of an imaginary enemy. Or having to create an imaginary enemy so you can continue to...
What were the other ones?
Well, they would spoil things if I said...
Oh, okay.
But one of them was Kamen Rider Decade.
Ah.
I liked it a lot. I like this one a lot. Mainly for the visual style.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I sort of appreciate the allegory, I guess, of it, but it feels like it doesn't really go anywhere, you know? It's like,
yeah.
I think I would have liked it more if it was maybe 10 minutes shorter or something. Because there's a lot of just watching the machines pump smoke and watching the general guy make his long entrance and stuff that feels like it could have been shortened. But it is really good anyway.
It is. I would agree with it a little shorter though. I invested a lot for not much return. But it's still good. It's still good.
Do you think you'd like the other two better if Magnetic Rose wasn't part of it? And you had something else which tied in thematically better with the other two.
Yes.
Probably, yeah. But I like Magnetic Rose best out of all of them.
Yeah.
So, I wish they'd left that to last. I wish they'd started with Cannon Fodder. Kept Stink Bomb in the middle and finished off with Magnetic Rose.
Stink Bomb does work pretty well as sort of a breather right after Magnetic Rose, though.
Yeah. When
it's so dark at the end of that one. And then it's like cheery music and the bright sunlight comes on and the beginning of Stink Bomb. Like, I started laughing just based on that opening shot. Just because it was so jarring.
The kid in Cannon Fodder kind of looks like... What was that thing we watched at Leeds? Asura,
yeah.
He kind of looks like one of the kids from that.
Yeah.
That same gormless face with fat face.
I wish someone would license Asura. Because it's one of those things you want to show people.
I would quite like to watch it again, actually. It was good.
So what's his new anthology he's got coming out this year?
Oh, yeah. I heard about that. Don't remember the name, though.
No, I'm just going to have to look it up.
I'm looking forward to that, because we don't get a lot of anthologies lately. I think Genius Party was the last one, wasn't it?
I'm trying to think, yeah. I think you might be right there. Short Piece.
Oh, yeah.
Is that actually the title, Sean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew I'd heard the title, and then for some reason I forgot it, and I guess that makes sense, because it's not that memorable.
It is a pun, though. Yeah. Yeah, so it's Cock Combustible as part of it, and then three other shorts. Yeah, and there's a trailer for that. So when's that debuting? July 20th in Japan.
Not long now.
So, also we can cross our fingers and hopefully it might come to Leeds Film Festival.
Oh, yeah. Have they announced the dates for that?
No, they don't announce... they announce the dates, but they don't announce the schedule until much much later.
Will it be on a weekend again, or...?
If they do an anime weekend, yes, it will be on the weekend.
Good. Because... I know that makes sense, but I would hate to think that... Because I don't want to have to take holiday off. But...
No, it'll normally be the weekend before Thought Bubble. Okay, anything else you want to talk about? Memories.
In the bonus features, Otomo is adamant that he wants people to dance during the ending credits. He says it about 5 times. Did you guys dance?
And I haven't watched those special features yet, so no, I didn't dance. But
Poor Otomo.
Not getting what he wants.
It was Morimoto DJing. I know he does a bit of that. One thing I want to mention is that the Hidekazu Ohara, who did the character design, animation director, and chief animator on Cannon Fodder, did Suzy Zoo, the CG animated thing based on the American greetings card characters, which looks really good. It's sort of the best CG animation you'll see, TV animation. Far better than Mr. Stain on
Jungle. Oh, God.
10 years' time, when we're looking back at Suzy's Zoo, then you'll be impressed with that much more than I was with.
Yeah, but CGI's had already at a very high standard. It was merely a fleshling at that age.
Well, when did actually, that come it wasn't. Out? Was it 2003?
2003.
Pixar was doing some pretty good stuff at that point. Isn't that like Finding Nemo.
Oh God, what have I done? 2003 is not that long ago in that respect.
Yeah, Toy Story 2 was 1999, so.
Yeah, this just looks like it was in the time when CG was in its infancy.
Maybe it's all intentional.
Intentionally cheap, yes.
I'm going to watch episode 2 whether we talk about it again or not.
Maybe you can start your own Mr. Stain on John Kelly blog.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a fan out there somewhere. Maybe the creator.
Single fan.
Yeah. Maybe Austin 100. Maybe he's a fan of that as well.
There are. You are right. There are people who do like it. I saw some good reviews of it when I was looking it up.
Really?
Yes. And I was thinking, having said that, those reviews were not made in 2013. And there are people posting about it on Tumblr.
At the moment? Like these days?
I don't know how recently, but they are on. There's 3 posts I just found. You can never guess what's going to happen next or what Mr. Stain will find, apparently.
So he finds something every week? Is that how it goes?
Oh, there's a 30-minute finale! What?
See? You've cut the string short. You've lost it. This could be great.
Right, anyway, on to my game, which is called Memories Are Made of These. So these are going to be multiple choice questions. Whew. So we avoid the terror that was the whale-based quiz. There's a chance that you can answer these questions. So let's start with Aaron. So there's 3 choices. So if you get it wrong, the opponent can steal and try and get their point.
Right, okay.
Okay, so Aaron.
Yes.
Lupin the Third, in memory of the Walther P-38, is also known as A, Island of Assassins, B, Order to Assassinate Lupin, or C, Dead or Alive?
Island of Assassins.
You are correct.
Oh.
So I was ripping that from a DVD yesterday.
Oh.
It's ripping a bunch of my DVDs.
Okay, Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
Penguin's Memory, Shiawase Monogatari, is A, the tale of an injured war veteran who feels isolated from his friends and is also a penguin. B, a bittersweet romance about a beach resort bar owner who is also a penguin. Or C, the tale of an underdog basketball team who win the big game and also happen to be penguins.
B.
Aaron, chance to steal.
See?
No, incorrect. The tale of an injured war veteran who feels isolated from his friends. He's also a penguin. Okay, Aaron. Mm-hmm. Stardust Memory is a Gundam story set in which year? A, 0079, B, 0080, or C, 0083?
I know this one.
80.
Anthony, chance to steal.
C?
You are correct. It's 0083. Okay, Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
Tenchi Muyo, Distant Memories, is A, the one where you hope he's not going to end up having sex with his mum, B, the one with a similar plot to Magnetic Rose, or C, one of the ones that doesn't actually have Tenchi in it.
C.
No, I'm afraid you're wrong. Over to Aaron. Is it A, the one where you hope he's not going to have sex with his mum?
Yeah, that one.
No, I'm afraid it's not. It's the one with a similar plot to Magnetic
Rose. Right.
Oh, but you always hope he's not going to have sex with his mum. Should never do that.
It's the first one where you have to worry. He's not going to. Righty-ho. Aaron.
Yeah.
Bleach. Oh. Memories of a Nobody is A, the first Bleach movie, B, the second Bleach movie, or C, the third Bleach movie.
Third one?
You are wrong.
B, second.
No, I'm afraid it's the first.
No.
Oh.
This is going about as well as the whale quiz.
Should have had two answers. 50-50.
At least I get one right this time.
It's currently a draw. Okay, Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
Zammed. Lost Memories. Its theme tune is by A, the Polysix, B, Boom Boom Satellites, or C, Mad Capsule Markets?
I think it's the Mad Capsule Markets.
You're incorrect. Chance to steal here and win the game, Aaron. Is it A, Polysix, or B, Boom Boom Satellites?
What's
C?
Boom Boom Satellites?
You're correct.
I was going to say them. I was going to say them.
2-1 to Aaron.
Oof.
And that is how you play Memories Are Made of These. So look for that again next time we review something with memories in the title. And having looked at all the things with memories in the title, that's probably not going to happen.
And you're going to say that.
Righty-ho, Aaron, anything you want to plug?
I've got my website, aaronlongcartoons.com, which is still a blog right now, but it's going to be something else eventually, maybe just like a portfolio page for my art. I've got my Tumblr, which is aaron-long.tumblr.com, which is where I'm posting more of the stuff I used to post on my blog, like the, write-ups about anime I've watched and stuff like that.
And more importantly, the scans of the photos of your Mind Game manga that you bought.
Yes, that's correct. I love that comic. It's weird how different it is from the movie in some ways. And also how almost identical, like shot for shot. But anyway, yeah, so Tumblr, I'm on Twitter and YouTube under the name AALong64. So I think that's about it.
Okie dokie, Anthony.
I'm just on Twitter this week, nowhere else. And that is Ant Askew. That is all. I'm upset I lost the game. I'm annoyed.
Are you still doing commentary on
Oh yeah, I'm still doing the whole League of Legends thing. I've recently put the submission in so I can cast the big tournament at London Expo, which I'm definitely going to be at, so yeah, could be big.
You're Mr. Stain blog, right?
Oh yeah, that's currently
don't forget that.
A work in it's maybe next week. You'll eat those words.
Well, someone has actually taken mrstain.tumblr.com, so you'll have to add to that.
I don't want to see that Tumblr page.
All it says is the word horse stockings. Nothing else.
That's upsetting.
Righty-ho. You can find me on Twitter at awesome_engine. I better find my voice before I continue talking, though. Have a little sip of water.
Just a little one.
Right, ready to go again. Yes, and also on the internet at awesome-engine.com. And by the time you hear this, there will be a new post, which isn't just the podcast being reposted. I have been writing a post on Himi-chan's Ribbon Episode 1, which has got long and out of control. So hopefully I've got it under control and it will be up by the time you hear this. And as always, you can find me, and no, you can find this podcast. I have this written down as a piece of script, as you may be able to guess. And the one time I went away from the script, I could not remember the thing I say every episode. And as always, you can find this podcast on dynamiteinthebrain.com, on facebook.com/dynamiteinthebrain, and on iTunes. So why not subscribe and write us a review? I'm laughing at the word I'm going to stick in a minute. And so why not subscribe and write us a review so more people can find out about the smell that is Dynamite in the Brain. Goodbye.
Goodbye. May the force be with you.
Bye. Life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.